Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else in between, like your cats and dogs. My name is Maureen Holler, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Katrina Wynn brings over 40 years, and she's our guest tonight. She's wonderful, but she brings over 40 years of experience in tarot, combined with metaphysical studies and professional counseling expertise to her work with tarot counseling, and she is an international tarot teacher inspiring students all over the world. But before we get started, I would like to have you join me in welcoming my co-host, and Carmen. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm fine. I feel blessed. I feel very fortunate to have warmth.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Power.
That's right.
Yes.
Everybody. She's in Canada.
Yeah, the eastern part of the country.
Yeah.
We didn't make the family Christmas, and most of my family was without. Well, some of my family was without power, and really travel isn't advised. Well, isn't.
But things are better now for you guys in Canada.
Not yet.
Okay.
Well, fingers crossed. Yeah, I'm good. I'm all good. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm really glad you're here and you made it and your power's still on. Well, could you tell us about what you do? You do lovely things. Could you tell us about that?
Oh, my goodness. I'm a fellow empath and a telepath, if you believe in that. As you know, I know you do. And what I do is I also back it up with a sort of a hard form of, for me, data, which is the tarot. And I don't know how. An empath is somebody who can feel emotions, mainly preempt outcomes and motives through human behavior, and I call myself a somewhat intuitive as well.
Well, I guess you are free to do so. Thank you, Carmen. Thank you, and I appreciate your work very much. I think just a little humor. Also, I'm going to have to say, well, hello, Stephen.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Suddenly I have a little frog. It's going to make me sound really good. I'm doing fine, thank you. And so how are you?
I'm doing great. Had a very nice Christmas season with my family, and now I'm ready to settle in, relax, and listen to what all that you and your guest have to tell us about the tarot tonight. I'm very excited about that.
We're all going to have – we're all – I love the way you think. You all. Well, I'm happy. And like I said, if you have any great questions, feel free, because this is going to be a great show, a really bit of a different show.
It is.
So, Stephen, could you share with us what you do?
Absolutely. I'm one of – many, many very dedicated tarot readers. Yourself, you're one other of them. We have several pages at Psychic Access. Love to read the tarot. Love everything about the tarot. I use the tarot to troubleshoot people's personal problems, romantic problems, career problems, spiritual problems. It's a tool of wide application, and I use it at PsychicAccess.com. I also practice medieval and Renaissance era type of astrology. So I love what I do. Like everybody else at Psychic Access, I'm a dedicated professional, and I love serving our clients.
Well, and I love your passion, I must say. I love
your
passion. And so I thank you for that. And
sure.
Also, I don't know if we have Steve here on. Well, I didn't really get a – okay. So anyway, well, you know, I'm Maureen. We all know what I do, and we all know I do it well. So with that said, Katrina. Katrina's with us now. Hello, Katrina, and how are you? Welcome.
Hello. Hi. How are all of you here at Psychic Access Talk Radio? Wow.
Yeah, we're doing great. The weather here is fantastic for me, let me tell you, in California. I can't begin to – you know, it's like summertime here. Sorry. You know, the other host, Carmen, it's been bad snow weather. But yes, and Katrina, yeah, I've been really looking forward to this show, and I wanted to tell people how I ran across you, how I found you. I wasn't looking, but it's almost like it was you were supposed to be the one I found for what you do. So do you want me to tell you the story?
I am very curious about how you found me because I'm not as familiar with the Psychic Access Network and other things that are being offered through your community. And so I actually, this is an opportunity for me to get to know you a little bit and hopefully for folks to get to know me a little bit.
If you're like, I go out and stalk people. I don't stalk people. But no, what I was doing, I look for subjects that I really like to do. That's how, just for me. And I went on, I always go to Amazon, I look over the books and whatever. It's not a particular book. And it wasn't tarot I was looking for, but suddenly I ran across your book, Transformative Tarot. And I go, that sounds interesting. That's different than everything. So I started to kind of look into it. Then I went to your website. Well, I read a little bit about you, and I go, oh, this woman's going to be, would be fantastic. Because of the fact, because things are changing and everybody's kind of blending together, and you are, you have your degree in psychotherapy. I remember we spoke about this, but could you explain? You are a degree.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to, Maureen. Yeah. Because it can be confusing. There's so many titles and labels, and even in the tarot world, sometimes we're not completely certain about what to call ourselves. I noticed at the beginning of the show, some of the co-hosts were introducing themselves and saying, well, I do this, or this is my specialty, or this is my gift. So I kind of fall under both of those categories. In the counseling or psychology world, the way we would describe me is that I have my Master's of Arts in Counseling Psychology. So I have that degree. And then also I've been part of a private modality program for the last 25 years, and that's called process-oriented psychology, which is more of a psychotherapeutic modality, which is very much influenced by the work of Carl Jung. And so in some ways, I'm not a Jungian technically, but I have a lot of Jungian influence. And then in the Tarot world, it's interesting because I studied Tarot as a solitary practitioner long before there were things like internet. We're talking over 40 years ago, and there weren't even that many books available. And so I taught myself a lot about tarot. But then when it came to doing readings for others, it just never occurred to me. I studied the tarot as a book of wisdom. And then about 24 years ago or something, people started asking me to do readings and to teach classes. And that's when I thought, okay, well, then I guess that's what the universe is asking me to do. And my natural inclination then was to offer tarot readings in a way that made sense to me in terms of my skill base and my training. And to distinguish it from maybe other styles that other people were using, that's when I actually started using the term tarot counseling. So that was about, I think about 23 years ago, I started using that term. And from there, I further distinguished it by calling it transformative tarot counseling because of my therapeutic background and the fact that I know from experience and what I eventually wrote about in my book that readings themselves can be so transformative, meaning they really can support change for people. So people make new choices, or they get a different perspective on their lives, or that they're willing to face things that might have been a little difficult for them to face before. And of course, it's not a substitute for straight ahead counseling or therapy or anything like that, but it definitely sometimes opens the door for people to then embrace taking more of a directed focus path for creating the changes they want to see in their life.
And that was another reason why I really wanted to, because, you know, I myself was, I'm self-taught, and there was the internet, I think, but I didn't have any access to it. But the thing I was reading about you, I just was, the way you approach the cards, and I started getting involved with them for my own, it was like a 78 program. You know, like, it was like for me to understand and really get in tune with my not so good self either. Each of them, I drew pictures. So when I was reading about you, I said, you know, this is a type of thing that I think is really lovely because there's a lot of different people. Anybody can learn to read them, but I like how you say there's an approach would you say? There's a directive or the predictive? Wait, predictive?
Well, you know, in the Tarot world, and even outside of the Tarot world, when we look at the collective, for instance, if we look at consensus reality, as we might call it, when we look from the outside in, most typically, if you bring up the thing about tarot or cards, people immediately think fortune-telling, prediction, and things like that, which, of course, is a great deal of what does go on in the tarot community. But then there were a group of us who were doing things that didn't quite fit that definition. And even the definition and the portrayals in the media didn't even quite match how modern readers, even modern fortune tellers, might approach their work. So it just seemed very important to start looking at those contrasts and describing those differences so that people get a better and clearer idea of all the different opportunities and services and modalities that are available.
And we spoke about labels. I do want to address that because I love that. When we spoke, everybody, we did speak before, because the labels, and it is, and that's kind of like what we're talking about in a bit here. Could you explain what, you know, because, well, you're the guest.
What might I do, what I'm doing that might be a little different than the mainstream, yeah, for instance?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, sure, I'd be happy to. So, one of the things we do in counseling, for instance, that's a lot different than what maybe the typical or average tarot reader would do, is that we listen to our client and follow them as opposed to leading. And I know it sounds easy, but it's really a very, very subtle and challenging art to perfect, which means that we support our clients, for the most part, finding their own solutions, sometimes coming up with their own conclusions. And in the tarot world, that goes into the realm of supporting the client to have their own personal and intuitive relationship with the cards and with their reading. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to come in and guide or tell some information about my knowledge or even my intuitive relationship with the cards and what it might mean for that client and their reading. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to showcase my knowledge. It means I'm going to let my thoughts and my impressions go on the back burner and really support the client and really listen to the client to where they go on their own journey of discovery. Can you follow that? Does that sound?
Oh,
I mean, I realize some people probably already do that, and maybe they don't call it a counseling style.
Well,
but I think
yeah,
that's one of the things that really distinguishes a counseling style from maybe a reading style where somebody's interpreting the cards for
right,
their client.
Well, you know, and because I don't have a degree academically, I do the style of my favorite readings. When I do readings, everybody can hear me roar, is spiritual developing. I mean, you know, get the relationships or business opportunities, but that is one of my favorite. I get a lot from that, but I give a lot of that. But because I've never, and there's that label stuff, because I don't feel I have the right, I guess, to feel that I could, you know, offer or say as a counseling. Now, I've had some people say, I don't want your counseling. I want you to be a psychic. You know, I get that, you know, the label stuff. But I feel the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. Absolutely.
I would love for you to say that again, but maybe a little slower so everyone can hear that. I love that saying from you.
I know. I will say it right now slower. Tarot is a symbolic record of human experience.
Isn't that amazing? It really is.
It helped me. It was life changing for me. That's how I connected with them, and that relationship started. And here I am. So
right, it's also the mandala of life, perhaps even of the universe. So it can represent in some way or another all those various aspects. And so then each of us as practitioners or readers or students of Tarot are going to be accessing it through our particular filter or lens. Kind of like that old story about the elephant, right? And the seven blind men. You know, depending on how you approach the Tarot is what you're going to get back from it. So the same thing for those clients too, by the way. If the client approaches Tarot and is not, let's say, educated about the diversity of Tarot, they're probably going to make an assumption about what it is for or what it can do. And then I basically say, I hope that people find the reader that's the best match for them. And I think you almost have to be psychic to figure out who to work with. But at the same time, I also believe that we as readers can educate the public, either through our readings, through our writing, through our networking, or just talking to folks in our neighborhood, and raising the bar of the diversity of understanding of what we can do with these amazing tools.
I agree. You know, there's four hosts, including myself, on the show, and I have Stephen is a tarot reader, and he's real different than the way I am, and I love his style. But he has a question, if you don't mind, he would like to ask you. It's a really good one. Would you mind?
Oh, please. Yeah, of course.
Yes, of course. Stephen, go for it.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Thank you, Katrina, for letting me butt in here and ask this question. But what I'm curious to know is whether or not the tarot is becoming more legitimate in psychiatric and psychological professional circles. Are professionals beginning to pick up this tool, A, and B, are they beginning to take it more seriously as a legitimate metric of subconscious activity, and C, are there any practitioners of psychology or psychiatry who might pick up this tool in private for their clients? That's what I would like to know, Katrina.
Okay. All right. Those are great questions. And I will try to speak to all of them. And I may not remember which was A or which was B or which was C.
Sure.
But here
no
we
problem.
Go. generally speaking, I can't speak for the entire psychiatric profession. So I'm going to give you that disclaimer right off the top of my head. But from talking to different clients and students and friends in the tarot world, and also my counseling friends outside of the tarot world, I have some general understandings I do believe I can share. Okay, so yes, there are stigmas, as there are stigmas in many areas of our day-to-day life where tarot is relegated to a certain area and isn't necessarily embraced as an amazingly powerful tool that we know it to be. So even in the psychological realm, there are people, you know, whenever you work for, let's say, a larger group of people, where they don't necessarily honor diversity, there's always going to be those smaller voices, the unheard people, the people whose beliefs or thoughts or priorities are minimized. And so you're going to find that in the psychological realm as well. So tarot, in that sense, is going to be the minority. And then psychology and its tenets and its philosophies and its belief system will be the majority. Fortunately, there's a lot of people in the professional counseling or psychology realm who have studied both tarot and psychology and see that there's a lot of overlapping understandings and also treatments in terms of using them one way or the other. Now, in terms of actual professional counseling people who utilize tarot cards in their practice, I think we get into an even smaller group now. Like, for instance, I'll speak for myself. I will not sit down with an actual established counseling client and suddenly whip out the cards, because from a counseling point of view, that could be considered unethical. A, I may not know what that person's belief system is, and it could be considered a boundary violation for them. B, it may not be what they're asking or looking for or what they could relate to. You know, there's a lot of reasons I wouldn't do that. What are the exceptions to that? When might I do that? It actually did happen to me one time where I was in my office, which I actually share with this person shares her office with me, actually. She's delightful. And I don't bring my tarot cards with me to my counseling sessions, but she has a deck that I know is in the office. So one of my counseling clients showed up and actually wanted a tarot reading. Now, I knew this person really needed a counseling session, but they were very, let's say, we have a way of describing this in my line of work, where their primary message or communication was, I want a tarot reading. But the secondary, the sort of like the nonverbal communication, is that my life is a mess and I don't know what's going on and I need a perspective, which is something we can do through counseling. But since the primary request was, I want to do it through tarot cards, I made an exception. I pulled out the cards and on the spot, I actually made up a chakra reading based on the seven chakras as described by Carolyn Mace in her Anatomy of the Spirit, because that's a very well-rounded chakra interpretation that covers all these different areas of someone's life. So that was an exception because the client specifically asked for it. Now, do I have tarot clients who come to me for counseling or counseling clients who come to me for tarot readings? Absolutely, yes. But one of the things that we learn as professionals, probably you as tarot readers, definitely me as a counselor, especially living in a very small village on the Oregon coast, is confidentiality. Very, very important to us. And really protecting the privacy as well as the content and the identification of our clients. So if we learn how to wear different hats, then I tell my clients, if I see you in town and we're at the grocery store, I will not say hello to you unless you say hello to me first. That's how far it goes in terms of protecting privacy and confidentiality. If I'm at a psychic fair like we have here in our little town I started years ago, and some other folks have picked it up and kept it going in a beautiful way, people know I'm going to be sitting there at my little table doing my tarot readings. And so sometimes a client will sit down and get a reading. So basically I differentiate, I wear different hats. If somebody wants a tarot reading, they need to make a tarot appointment with me. If someone wants a counseling session, they need to make a counseling session with me. But here's the deal though, because I have both skills and I have both hats in my closet or out of my closet, then I will then start off with the counseling. But in the background, I have so much wisdom. I have 40 years of studying the tarot. And so I can use my tarot wisdom as I also bring in my counseling skills working with that client. It works the other way around too. I'm sitting down with a tarot client, but sometimes my counseling skills need to kick in. But here's the deal though, folks, and I do talk about this in my book, is understanding where those subtle boundaries are. And so I will literally say to a tarot client, I'll say, do you mind if I put my counseling cap on for a moment? And if I have their permission to go into a realm that isn't what we sat down and identified as the purpose of our session, then I feel like, okay, I've got permission to go a little further with this in an area that actually resembles more of a counseling session. Now, I can do that because I've got the qualifications and the experience to do that, and I truly understand and try to respect people's boundaries as much as possible. So that's one of those areas where it takes practice, it takes skill. And I know for me, what's been a great benefit in my life the last 25 some odd years is having supervision and training from other people in the counseling world, in the psychotherapeutic world, to help me learn those boundaries and those skills of observation. Now, of course, anybody who's sitting down in a tarot reading, is, you know, if you've been doing this for years, you're going to learn some of those skills just from experience, just from life, or maybe you were born with special skills. You know, if you're an empath, then you're already perhaps feeling in to the emotions of your client. And maybe you have very beautiful, skillful ways of tying that back into the reading in a way that doesn't necessarily go beyond or push a boundary for your client. Now, there are, I have some friends who are psychologists and even psychiatrists who on occasion will bring the cards into their session. But again, they get the client's permission and it just seems absolutely appropriate in that moment. And can I add a little bit more to this, Stephen?
Absolutely.
And this is just a personal perspective of my own. And I don't know if I addressed your A, B, and your C. But
you did.
Okay, but I think one thing I didn't really focus on too much is this idea of legitimizing, but I will come back to that. So with tarot, let's just say most people, even in the tarot world, already assume that working with a card is a matter of interpreting the card. In other words, you can either learn what the card means and then regurgitate it verbatim, you know, just repeat it verbatim. Or the cards themselves speak to you in a language that's unique between you and the cards. And so you're going to bring your personal understanding or channeling of that tarot wisdom into your session. Or my tarot counseling style is actually more like a counseling session because the focus isn't so much on the cards. The focus is on that relationship, the relationship between myself, the client, and the cards. And so that's where I'm going to place the greater importance or light in my work. So the cards are incidental, and if anything, they're just a catalyst. And that in itself does resemble what many people do in a more psychotherapeutic style of counseling. So you've heard of Rorschach tests, I'm sure. So a Rorschach test is basically an image that is meant to inspire a particular reaction, but you don't know what that reaction is going to be until you hear it. The reaction that that client has to the image that 1,000 other people have looked at and had other reactions to tells you more about the client than it does about the image. That's the way I work with the Tarot. It's more of an inspiration. It's like waking up from a dream and tapping into that person's personal dream symbolism, as opposed to opening up a dream interpretation book and doing sort of a one-size-fits-all type of interpretation of the card. So that's just what makes my work a little different.
You're like, what do you see in this card? Not so much what I think the interpretation is, but is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. But I won't say it quite the way you said it, because that can put people on the spot sometimes. So let me share with folks. If you maybe you're already doing this, or if you'd like to experiment with this, I'd be happy to share it with you. So, you know, there's this question that people ask sometimes when you deal out your cards: are they face down or are they face up? Right? All right. So I'm one of those folks who actually only pulls out one card at a time, and it's face down. And the reason being is I am preparing my client to have their first impression, which, by the way, is their intuition totally plugged in. Just the fact that I'm doing this ritual with them opens up their intuition without even using that word. So I'll prepare the client and I'll say, before I turn this card over, I invite you, as I turn it over, to notice the first thing you notice about it. Do you have a feeling? Is there an association, maybe a memory of some sort, or even a reaction? Maybe you see something, you just don't even like it. But please share with me that very, very first impression, and feel free to touch the card if you like. So already I'm letting them know that what my boundaries are, or where I don't have boundaries, or so I'm preparing them so that we have a safe container around our work, and at the same time I'm inviting them to play with the cards with me and to like go outside of the box. And so let's say the person turns the card over and they are immediately drawn to this face in the center, and they'll go, oh, well, I see this face. All right, well, that's very neutral and that's very to the point, I see a face. So then in my counseling style, I can use some of my skills to draw out more information. And I can say, wow, what kind of face? So like, is it whose face, or what's going on with that face? I'll know where to take the questioning, by the way, by things I've already picked up about the client. So I'm kind of like a feedback loop where I'm feeding the client's material back to them to take them more deeply into their experience. And sometimes I'll even apply things that we use in Jungian psychology, which is amplification. And so that's really a skill there. I'm amplifying a symbol that shows up and inviting my client to personalize it in some way. And from there, the story starts unfolding. And then as the other cards come out, we see the journey that they're on in that moment. Because to me, the overall reading is not a report. It's a journey.
That's fascinating. Thank you very much for addressing. That's a question I've always wanted to ask a practitioner who was also a psychologist. So thank you.
You're right. And please keep in mind, I can't speak for everyone, but that's certainly my style.
Understood.
And what I've been doing for 25 years.
Come on, Katrina, you can. Come on, really?
And you know what? And it's not to say I don't occasionally have a client who just sits down, and even though I might have given them my spiel might be something like, because I can usually sense as a course I'm intuitive, just like everyone else, especially the more you work with the Tarot, the more intuitive you become. But let's say I sit down and I already sense this person is looking for a fortune-telling session. And so I might say to them, when I work with the cards, I'm looking for guidance. I won't be able to make predictions or to tell you what to do with your life. So that's like my little disclaimer. But let's say halfway through the reading, they go, you know, but I'd still really like to get an answer to this. And so I'll just kind of clear my energy, and I'll tune into my intuition to see which way to go with this. And occasionally, and this is what I really enjoy about studying things like the Lenormand cards, the Petit Lenormand, is I'll say, well, maybe we can go to the Lenormand cards and see what they say about it. And that gives me absolute permission to go into a straight-ahead, more of a fortune-telling style, and to see how that interfaces with my client's question. So I feel good because then they're getting it from both sides. They're getting the counseling style, which invited them to take more responsibility and to be more engaged in their process. But then they still have this burning question that needs to be satisfied. Fine. Then we use the Lenormand and we find out a little bit more from its point of view what's going on. And it's ironic how much they overlap. And so that's been fun for me to see this overlap between the saying and what the Lenormand says.
It's a win-win to me. Absolutely. I mean, really, that'd be a win-win if I was the client coming to you. This is what's so great. You're like the pie. You know, you are, I don't want to say the wrong wording, but I think you'll understand. You, to me, where I'm sitting so far, and that's why you just grabbed at me, everything about you, your book, and what you, and when I went on there, you're like the pioneer. You've even trademarked your tarot. You know, you're like the pioneer for those that are academically, for those that have the degrees. So you're the pioneers, and that's what I find. To me, like I said, maybe I'm wrong, but you're out there and about where I'm not around the people that, you know, that are, how do you say? Well, I know. You know what I mean? It's not like you'd meet one therapist to the next that would have the same openness. And like you said to me, you've always been a little bit different, and I love what you said. You said, to me, it's almost like I'm almost kind of like the type of person that's like, I don't have to go by the labels or go by whatever is conform to anything.
Well, you know, it's about, and this is something I hope each of us do. We do a little soul searching and we go, what is my most authentic self? What is my calling? What is my soul purpose? I mean, this stuff I found out over years and years of doing tarot readings and counseling that I would say 99% of the folks that I work with, that's what they're looking for. That's what they're really trying to plug into. And once you align with that soul purpose or that authenticity, then the road before you becomes more clear. That doesn't mean it becomes more easy. So now I'm going to go back to something you said a moment there, Maureen, is that I'm going to agree with you. I'm not going to say it with a lot of humility, but there's definitely humility here, is I do feel like a pioneer, and I want to own that because it's been a lot of work. And whenever you're stretching the envelope or creating a diversity that wasn't so obvious in the first place, it's risky. You know, you don't know if people are going to reject you or misunderstand you or dislike you or feel like that you're a threat or that you're trying to overpower them. Or, you know, there's all kinds of fears and reactions and judgments that can come out. But I feel really fortunate that I have a very strong spiritual foundation and that I really checked with myself so deeply to make sure this was truly my authentic path. And that is what gave me permission to go out and kind of push that envelope and start having those conversations with people and to actually try to represent a different point of view and be willing to take any kind of criticisms, because of course when people criticize you, that's actually an opportunity for critique, and whenever there's critique, there's an opportunity for learning. So I welcome everybody's input.
No,
that's how I learn.
I loved how you just explain that, because that's exactly right. You know, right now I think it's a good time. We need to take we are going to take a commercial break. It'll just for a minute, and we'll be right back. And it's a commercial break with our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com. So everybody hold on. We'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing.
and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
And we're back, and we're speaking with Katrina, and I'm just so pleased and happy and honored to have you here with us, joining us, and just letting us all in on what's going on with you. Are the pint we were talking about that, and you should stand. You know, it's yours to hold, to own.
And I'm a pioneer in many ways, but I can't help that. In fact, any of you who do tarot numerology, I'll just tell you, I'm a chariot in a tower. So
it's my job to stir things up and go into new
territory. You know, and that's Katrina, another part of being authentic is you align with that soul purpose through the tarot. It gives you permission to do all kinds of stuff.
The chariot and the tower is mine as well. And when I was going through my 20-something years ago, I love them. And they're both, 16 and 7 numerology-wise. And they're both very interesting. And I didn't talk to you about this. Of course, again, this is why I cruised over your way, the energy of you, because the tarot and the tower and the chariot is also mine. And it's
us chariot gals, we just love each other.
And the tower, I'm ready for it. Let me add it. Just read it.
Right. When we had our little break there, got an interesting question from Stephen. I hope it interests the rest of you. He was asking a little bit, if I could say a little bit about Carl Jung and synchronicity. And I'm going to say yes, but I have my own theory. And so I can't speak specifically as a Jungian and what Carl Jung would say about that, but I'm going to try to put it into my own words and my own understanding. And this might also tie in with Tarot and also some of the writings of other people. It's like my head's already going in 5 different directions, so I'm going to try to pull it together here. So first off, what is synchronicity? I mean, a lot of us have a sort of everyday collective understanding because it's... Fortunately, there's a lot of things that Carl Jung brought to our collective consciousness, including that term. Synchronicity is when two things appear to be happening around the same time that have a significance or meaning or a connection with each other that we could not have predicted and we didn't plan. Now, I believe what Jung was trying to say is that synchronicities are going on all the time. It's just that we in our human sort of like cognitive thinking way of going about life, it's almost like having these little, I notice my hands are coming up like little blinders. It's almost like we have little blinders and we can only maybe look at what's in front of us or look at one thing at a time. But for those of us who work with tarot and other tools, metaphysical tools, and or who just are very naturally psychic or intuitive, we're already tapping into that other realm of what other people would call synchronicity, because again, it's happening all the time. It's just a matter of whether you notice it. So, for instance, if you're looking at the air around you, oh, wait a minute. You don't notice the air, do you? You breathe it. It goes into your body. It goes into your cells. It feeds your brain. But you don't necessarily see it. But you know it's there. Well, synchronicity is a little bit like that air. It's there all the time. And every now and then you notice it. Let's say you take a really deep breath, or maybe there's sunbeams going through your home and you see that light going through the air. I mean, there's a variety of ways that we suddenly wake up and we notice the greater awareness that is with us, but we're not necessarily sensitive to. We don't necessarily have the radar for. We don't see the full spectrum. We only see our own color spectrum in their range of vibration. So that's my way of thinking of synchronicity. Synchronicity is not an accident. It's an awakening. You can quote me. That's a quotable.
Yeah, I like that, actually. Yeah, and you trademarked that. That is a good, absolutely, very, very, I love that. Well, really, is people don't pay attention to the signs of synchronicity around them. That's just what my take, that's what I feel is truth for me, but...
I think that's what's so cool about us Tarot folks and other Oracle folks and, we are people who have dedicated ourselves to developing the awareness and the skills to tap more into the synchronicity that's around us all the time. So, yoo-hoo, yay to us.
Yeah, and we're making, this is all about, like I said, thank you, Mayans, for letting us live on. We weren't going to get off the hook that easy. We weren't going to go, because we have worked, and we're, like, you know, Katrina, what you're doing, I feel, and being the pioneer and everything, you're going to be a part of making that big difference, the shift that's going on. So we all come together, you know, talking about Union. I loved Union and all that. I adore him. Adore everything about what, you know, I wanted to be a Union cycle analyst at one time. But the thing of it is, we all are connected. We're all, you know, we need, and so anything to do with what your work is and what our work is, everybody has a little bit of something that we need to all come together to make the difference of making things a much honest and be okay about, you know, being honest.
Yeah, and my words for that would be each of us, my hope is that each of us, and everything I'm dedicated to writing, by the way, if you ever go to my web blog, it's called mysacredjourney.org.
It's excellent,
and
too.
That's one word, mysacredjourney.org, O-R-G. And everything I write about is hopefully, you know, to inspire you to be your most authentic self and to really align with your soul purpose. In fact, my last two blog posts are a two-parter, and it's the first one is called What is Desire? And the second one is How to Fulfill Your Soul Purpose. And I give you some really great ideas about how to do that and some of the folks who have influenced me. And it goes beyond just tarot work. It's for anybody. And I think us as tarot people are, let's say, for those of us who choose to, there's this really big spiritual calling to align and support and help other people to also get in touch with their soul purpose and then to work on their vision and to really ground it with a goals and plans like a coach. And so I know for me, that's what I do. I help people discover their vision. I help people actually write it out and create those affirmations, and I help them ground it and create real plans and real goals and things that are doable in bite-sized pieces. So sometimes I look like a mentor, sometimes I look like a coach, and sometimes I do look like a counselor. So I can kind of wear all those hats. And those are some of the things I touch upon in various classes that I teach. I mean, some of the classes I teach aren't necessarily tarot classes, but they always have a beautiful overlap with them. But one thing I've done, I'm very excited about, and I want to make sure I share this with everybody, is because this is like a brand new like announcement to the world. After years and years of receiving emails from folks from all over the world wondering if they could get, how do they get into my transformative tarot counseling certification program? Well, that was designed because local people, meaning people in the state of Oregon, a few other places, were asking me to teach them the more advanced skills that I use. And so because of that, I developed this program, but it just didn't translate as a, let's just say, as a teleseminar. And so I've been waiting for the technology and opportunities to come together where I could share knowledge, but also make it experiential, right? And yet accessible to more people. So I have combined forces with Global Spiritual Studies, which is an amazing website for different courses, everything with Mary Greer and Kashleen Matthews, and covers a variety of different topics and ideas and resources. And what we're doing right now this very week is we're putting together what I'm calling now my Professional Tarot Consulting Course. And it's made up of 10 classes, but for those who want to go through the certification program, which is the extra bonus, which is the experiential part that I'm so excited about, and the only reason I was willing to do this, is those last 8 classes basically are bundled as 4 units. And each one of those units has their own handouts, but all of them together for people who sign up for the entire course, what we're going to do for the experiential side is I have put together a private Facebook group just for the students. And I have a whole course syllabus, basically, where there's reading assignments, where there's exercises. People are going to get together in dyads and do some of these exercises together. There's also going to be discussion topics. And for those who want the certificate, there's also going to be some very simple exams, nothing too stressful, very simple. It's not college level, of course. And at the end, also those who complete the program will get a 30-minute consultation with me, really more like a mentoring, so that we can get together and say, hey, what are you really good at, and where do you want to take your professional tarot consulting career? And that is so exciting to me, because I had to do something that was very authentic for me and was interactive, because that's the way I learned. I learned that you interact with people. I learned that you model people, that you mentor. So since I can't be there physically with people to model these things, I wanted to at least get the mentoring side in and more interaction. So that I'm very excited about. It's not just a talking head kind of thing, but those right. who prefer to just buy the individual, let's say, units, you can still do that if you want to do your own self-study programs. But as an additional option, I'm so excited about the course, and I just put it up on my website. You can't really sign up for it yet, but you can read more about it. And if you go to tarotcounseling.org, and then you specifically look for, I have some menus at the top, and one of them says classes and program. Yeah. And the second one down is the Professional Tarot Consulting Course.
I'm
and you can read
right
all
now.
About
yes.
it there.
Excellent. And it's everybody, it is excellent, because I've been looking, I've been distracted, looking it over while you were just talking about it. You know, I wanted to ask you about this. Is this open to, here's what it goes, if you wouldn't ostracize, is it open to anybody that, or someone that is a degree and also therapists that want to go, and also someone that just wants to go, like myself, or someone that didn't have a mentor, like I was self-taught. I didn't have anybody. I was it was hard for me.
Me too. You know, it was you and I were about the same age,
yeah,
and I went through the same thing you did. I felt kind of isolated. My whole learning curve was kind of slow in the beginning, because I was relying on books, and even those were difficult to find. So this is definitely designed for anyone who's interested, all levels. In other words, experienced people would benefit from it, because it's unique perspective,
right.
and also some of the classes I've added to it, as well as beginners. That's why I've offered the first little three-class package is for beginners, but even advanced people would benefit from my unique perspective on beginning-level material. But it's not required, because I know some people have a lot of experience and they don't want to repeat some of those things.
Oh, well,
so it's
yeah.
open to everybody, even people who are interested in doing oracular work, whether it's be with the Lenormand, because I'm teaching more counseling skills and perspectives.
Right.
Some of the classes may not be appropriate for Lenormand, depending on what you're, even the Lenormand people have different approaches to it.
Right.
And so depending on what your approach is, it might be really, really good. No one's left out. Anyone who's interested can sign up. And I've actually created three different plans. So when you go to my website, you'll see those three plans, and then you can read about them and see which option is most complementary to your needs. So it's really designed to, like, reinforce your independent learning and your unique style, but at the same time, being a mentor and kind of holding your hand, or at least putting my hand on very gently on your back and helping you and supporting you as you go down your path.
You know, I wish you were around when I was going through a mess.
Me too. I wish I were around.
But it's interesting, because people that had not, you know, I did not, I was my own, I didn't have a mentor. The books that I didn't know were my mentors. And they weren't just tarot, it's just like intense books of any sort. They were my mentors, which was great. But it was a hard journey. It was the way it's supposed to be. But it's fascinating, because yours, similarity, like you were self-taught. Look at where you've come. Yes, you are a pioneer, because you know what? You put together something, I find, that you did not have the resources like this, you know? And I think it's fantastic that you're offering, and you are well suited for the you're well suited for the undertaking of doing this. And also, I think it's really great, because I'm reading, everybody, you'll be able to find this on her, well, we have your website on your listing, but it's very easy to find, but it's very easy to read, and it's how it's all planned out, and it sounds fantastic. Really, I've never seen anything like it. And certificate program too, as well. I mean, there's a lot here.
Right. So there's just something, I try to make it, I believe in diversity, I'll just put it that simply. And so even when I present things, I try to definitely come from my point of view, but honor diversity and give people a variety of ways to basically to interact with the program so that they can find something that interfaces the best with their life. And before I forget, one little little shameless promotion things here, if it's okay.
Absolutely.
Because you asked me this, and I don't want to forget to mention it. I will be at Reader's Studio this year. Now, that's a big deal because I live out in the woods in Oregon on the West Coast. And for me to go to New York City, that's a big deal. So I will be there this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of the people I've been connecting with. And I'm going to also be offering one of the Friday night study groups. And the topic is going to be 4 steps of a highly meaningful reading, plus counseling skills open tutorial. And that's really important because I'm going to put time aside for those questions, like some of the questions that are coming up here on this show, so people can, you know, instead of just listening to my program, can actually bring in questions that they brought with them, something that they've been concerned about or might even want a little supervision for. And so that, again, is very thrilling for me because it represents that the old idea of the mentoring and somebody who's looking out for you and seeing who you are and what your gifts are instead of expecting them to fit into your box. And that's the way I approach tarot. It's the way I approach counseling, and it's the way I approach teaching.
Well, you know, I'm really excited for you. And what are the dates again? You might have just said that, but I want to make sure.
Reader's Studio, I believe, starts, depending on what part of it you kind of get involved with. So for some posts, it starts on Wednesday. Some folks go to the special tarot and counseling classes on Thursday. And then it starts, I think it starts on Friday, which is April the 25th. Maybe it starts on Thursday the 24th. I don't have it here in front of me, but I can find it pretty quickly. And so some folks know that's through the Tarot School of New York, and it's actually technically in Queens, really close to LaGuardia Airport. So it says April 25th to the 27th, and that's Reader's Studio. So you can find that on the internet under tarotschool.com, and then specifically look for Reader's Studio. So that's exciting. And then the other thing is, always, I've been doing this, it'll be my 18th year, I have my annual tarot retreat here in Oregon. I live way out in the woods, and it's for people who just want to unplug and go into a deeper place with their relationship with the tarot. And I have a wonderful yurt on the back of my property. People camp out. I feed people very healthy organic foods, quite a bit from my garden. I live a very simple life out here.
Oh, that sounds lovely for me to. I'll be there. That sounds really. That sounds so nice and just being.
And that happens every year, the last weekend of July. And this year, I'm trying to do another one in Texas too. So those who, you know, if you listen to this and you're interested in a Texas tarot retreat, contact me through my email, mail@tarotcounseling.org. I would love to put you on that list and let you know as soon as I got something solid going.
I have just a few minutes left, but don't you have a new book coming out too as well?
Well, you know, it's so funny. I won't even go into all the books I've written and not necessarily published. But let's just say the first one that I published in a big way was this last one called An Introduction to Transformative Tarot Counseling, The High Art of Reading, which is also available as an Amazon Kindle, or you can order the paperback from me. But this winter, in addition to putting together this course, I'm also working on a book I actually started called The Sacred Journey of the Soul, or The Sacred Journey of Your Soul, through the Major Arcana, Volume 1. And I do mean Volume 1 because I've already got the outline for 3 other ones. And so hopefully that will be done in time for the course. That's my goal. And if nothing else, it'll be done in time for Reader's Studio. Oh, and not to forget, for those of you who enjoy listening to talk radios we're doing right now, Gina Thies and I do our own little podcast called Oracle Soup. So you can go to Facebook and find Oracle Soup, or you can find our website at oraclesoup.org. And there's lots of informative talks between Gina and myself, and occasionally with a third friend.
And they're good. I did hear some. I did, of course, listen I have been listening to them. They're fantastic. Well, Katrina, I really appreciate you joining us a lot, and I'm sure I'll connect with you again.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. It's so cool to be able to connect with the Psychic Access Talk Radio folks and great folks here in our little chat room. So thank you so much.
And thank you. And I wish you a good night, and I wish you a great, loving, merry every day, holidays included.
All right. I'll take that. Every day jolly, happy day.
That's right.
Or at least a joyful and peaceful day as much as we can make it. And thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And have a great night. And I will hope to talk to you soon. Definitely. Thank you. Bye, Katrina. I hope she said goodbye. Will, I really loved having this I loved this topic. Anyway, we all can agree, because we have some tarot readers. I think all of us are tarot readers as well, or we utilize them. But that was really lovely, I think, having somebody. I just think it's great. It's all about the big changes we're in. With that said, I will move on, because everybody's so quiet. Is everybody on me? No, everybody's so quiet. Anyway, I would like – what did you think, co-host? Did you enjoy this?
We're all here, and man, I absolutely was like a kid in a candy store with this interview tonight, Maureen, and this guest, Katrina.
Yeah, fantastic.
Fascinating interview. What a wonderful mentor to have in the world of tarot, I must say.
Absolutely, and you know, it's really nice, because things are changing. It's not that, you know, because she's a psych, you know, the greed and all that. There's a bigger picture. We're all coming together, so.
Absolutely.
And that makes me feel very happy, very happy.
People like Katrina can do a lot towards legitimizing our craft and making it more palatable. Because in India, you know, it's very common to consult an astrologer when your child is born. It's just very common. But in our world, in Western society, tarot, astrology, things like this, they're relegated to the back burner of social discourse. You know, so people like Katrina can really bring that forward.
Yeah, and she is like the pioneer. I do feel that there's a lot of changes. My daughters are going to make changes with the shrinks out there. You heard me, shrinks. Meditation, no medication, meditation. So thank you, Stephen. I really appreciate you stepping up and asking those great, you did have great questions.
Thank you for letting me do that, Maureen. That meant a lot to me. These have always been burning questions of mine. I was happy to have an opportunity to ask them tonight, finally.
Whenever I have a show, you guys are, it's an open door. I feel it's because we're all a team here. And if I don't think about it, bring it up, I want you to ask me. I don't have any rules with that, because I'm just like it, no rule girl. So anyway, if you'd like to find... No, you're welcome, Steve. You're just cute. To find out more about Katrina and her events and all that else that's going on, she'll blog everything, links to everything. You can visit her website at tarotcounseling.org. And also, like I said, she has got some great stuff on there you can read, and you can go head over into another direction. She has all her links and email address and everything else. So, and also she's on our guest page, and you will find that as well listed. I would like to take a moment or two to make a few announcements. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later, so be sure to have your pencil ready. If you were unable to catch last week's show, and it was our 200th show, everybody, yay, on Esoteric Christmas, good, and it was Stephen's show, very good, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows from the very beginning on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. I'm sorry, I was a little bit distracted from something. Oh, okay. Please feel free to circulate the archives link and future show details to your friends and your family and their neighbors. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. We'd really appreciate it. Also, psychicbloggers.com is a great site to learn about everything from paranormal, reincarnation, to the how-tos of psychic development, to transformative counseling, tarot counseling, everything. And I definitely would go check it out. And I also refer a lot of my clients. Sometimes when I'm not getting through, I go check out, I will, you know, refer them to a blog. They're fantastic, and they're all from people at psychicaccess.com. They're very They're great. They're wonderful. Good for me to listen to them too, or read and get my act together. So if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. And each psychic has a detailed profile, so you can find out more about them to choose from. And also, there's also a video for each psychic, so that's even that's fantastic. So you can listen to them, hear where they're coming from. And it's an honor working for Doug. With Doug, I've been working with him for since I was like 20 at Psychic Access, because of the high expectations required of each psychic. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychic. Access.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Okay, so if you like our show, again, please tell your friends and family. And like I said, you know, our archives. The best thing, you know, I love the archives. I don't know what everybody else thinks. The archives, you can just kind of go on your pace. Do it at your own style. So, you know, let people know if they're having a hard time and you're remembering one of our shows. You know, refer them over there. I refer myself over there. And even my family and my clients. So we would really appreciate that. And there is something for everyone. Okay, the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is, I'm going to give it out right now, so wait for it. Here it comes. And Steve or someone, I usually put it in, but if somebody could take care of that for me in the chat room, I'd really appreciate it. And if you don't, well, you'll be sorry. Sorry. The number is 724-444-4851. I would like you to know that our phone line will not be open until 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it would be 6:15 Pacific Standard Time. So if you even try to get through, it won't work. Okay, so please make note of that, and I very much, and we'd all appreciate that, because we don't want to think, you know, lose you. So please wait. Now it's time for the thing that we call banter. Yay. Let's banter it. And I feel that Steven.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally jumped the gun. I thought that we were doing the banter when I last spoke. But that's okay. I've got plenty of banter.
What world are you?
am I inhabiting? That's what? A good question. I get asked that a lot.
did something go over my head? No, we didn't. Oh, you thought you were.
No, were you just. I'm just so excited by tonight's topic that, you know, I'm just sitting over here literally just jumping
passionate.
In my seat.
You've got I love your passion. I know I tease you a lot, but I really adore it. I love it. It's like, it really is. And you and I are very different tarot readers. I get that. But yeah. I love the passion that you have. And I love hearing you.
When I first started doing the tarot, like I wrote in the chat, I was just amazed and almost disturbed and unsettled at the power of the tarot, how I would ask it questions and get lucid, intelligent answers. And I just would spend a lot of time thinking, what is this unseen intelligence? And that's what really scared me, that there was this external intelligence, an observer of myself that's giving me these answers. And wow, just a powerful moment, powerful tool.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Do your cards have little mouths on them that speak? I'm sorry.
You know what? They've certainly gotten to that point now almost. And that's one thing Katrina said that really resonated with me is that sometimes she doesn't try to push a meaning of a card on her clients, that she says, what does this card mean? You know, uses it like a Rorschach test. What does this card mean for you? What does this image mean to you? You know, this is a paradigm that's different from how we do things in Psychic Access. It's actually very interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, I read totally off the cards because it's not about the cards, but it might be a look that I see, a color. Because, you know, like Carmen being an empath, tormenting as it is, the cards, actually, I've been able to connect with them. And also I have PK stuff that always used to go on, and I think it's the shuffling and things taking the proper perspective, like, in place. But really, there's some people, you know, the way they read the cards are different, but for me, and that's why people go, what does that card mean? I go, listen, I homie, don't play that. I just can't play that game. And also, they want to read their own cards. Some people want to read what it is, and I, it's different for everybody. But I always felt, like I said, because I got connected, like Katrina was talking about, it wasn't a lovely journey. It was more like going straight into the worst parts of the down lower scale and not heaven, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, Stephen, I love the way you read the cards because there's something about it that I know you go, this card's saying, and I love that about you. And I love that you have some boundaries on you won't read for certain. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
yeah. Well, you know, there's a passage in the Bible that, you know, well, that's true, because the tarot does have a limited scope. It's not appropriate to use the tarot to diagnose all problems. And
no, but
the responsible tarot reader has to understand his or her limits.
Yeah, and plus, if you want some crazy, I'm sorry. This is, I adore you. You know, I get a kick out of you.
Oh, yeah.
I respect for you. I respect for you a lot. And I thank you, Steve, for interacting. Like I said, always welcome. When I have a guest, you guys are always – I love that when people interact, you guys can do that.
Yeah, it was great.
It helps my interview. I just kind of relax.
You go get coffee, right?
No, but it was great. No, it was a great question that I didn't come up with, and I really appreciate you doing that. You know, bringing that in.
Well,
so just, you're welcome. So, Carmen, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, there she is. There's, she's not, she has power. She's not snowed in. Hi, Carmen.
So what only is, 6 months of the year.
Only 6 months. Yeah, I'll trade you. You come to the beach. Come to the beach, and it's about 75 degrees here. You
I used
and,
to live there, yeah.
Well, I'll go to your place. I love the snow. I'll get snowed. I'll be snowed in. I'll be happy. We'll trade if you want. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, no, it's actually pretty fun, and it was very beautiful.
Well, it'd be fun for me to be in the be snowed in, actually. I'd like that idea.
I'll tell you, it was prismatic.
Yeah, but you know, when you don't live there, we always want something else. You know how it works, but... I'll talk about that later. I'll make reservations to fly over there.
You know, about the topic of tarot and such,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I would say that she has a pioneer knowledge, which would be very nice for somebody that had already, you know, brought about the inception of, you know, my idea, our ideas. And actually, she would have been with a forerunner to how I try to market my business. And I really like that business model because it's accessible. It's not non-denominational. You know, non-religious, it can be also, as you know, I mean, most people tend to gravitate towards a little bit of self-help, psychology, psychotherapy and such is one of my favorite fields. And I would have liked to have asked what she specialized in and what her majors were and what her...
Yeah,
you know,
I have them. Well, you go to her site,
oh,
she talks about it. No, I that's why I thought she was so fascinating. But yeah, if you are though still interested, check out. That's how I really like. But you know, Carmen, I think that it's something that's changing now because my sister's a psychologist and degreed, and I'm not. Although I think I have a better thing.
No, I was told actually that you know it. Well, I mean, for one, I was told that the new regime. Actually, she's from a Harvard psychologist, one of my clients, that she's finding the new training right now for psychology to be very regimented and unempathic, and she's concerned about the new. Inductees that are being released with, you know, psychology majors, nothing more than, say, depending on the school, non-empathic majors. And one of the things they did was there was actually a university in the central states somewhere, I remember reading about this, where they had an empathy test, you know, and they said, yeah, and it was basic, like, test, you know, kind of like the Blade Runner.
It's like in Minnesota
you
when they give
about your mental.
Mental patients.
Yeah,
Minnesota.
I'll tell you about my mother.
I've had the Minnesota, they tell you in the mental hospital, and they tell you how empathic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you.
Oh, well, but that one is like a bit of a struggle. You're under pressure. I see a free bird.
Well, you know, so your friend was saying, no one can hear that weekend. I know, we shouldn't hear. Nobody else can. Just let's keep talking. I know it drives me.
Siri digital. It's kind of technical. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but nobody else can hear it but us. It's funny. This is the first time. Well, you're doing it's all right. Carmen, you're saying that you said somebody, for instance, that you were talking about said that they're not doing, that you don't think they're you know, they're not putting, what? How did you put it? You said someone that you know.
It was too rigid and too scientifically based and not inclusive enough with human empathy feeling. So it was more of a, you know, she's a family psychologist. She's a child psychologist.
That's what my sister is, a family marriage counselor. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. No, you know, and so she was concerned and she does consult with some of the larger media companies. And, She's a very nice person. Now, I'm sure that there's going to be, again, a resurgence of people looking for empathy. And I'm wondering how it could be presented in cards, because I find I use the cards completely separate to empathy.
Well, the fact is, they keep me at least a bit saneful. That's why I think, I never started reading the cards because I wanted to be a tarot reader ever. I was doing it because I was going, it was for my own personal hell. I dealt with all my stuff that's coming out, purging about all the bad stuff too. It was like a 12-step program. But the thing is,
did you give up your tarot afterwards? Because you know what I found is I use them very intensely for about 5 years, and now I don't use them anymore on myself. I don't use them on myself. I can read myself through my clients.
I do get so much back. I get, and there's the empathy. I feel so intensely about what they're going through, and I may identify with it. I get a lot back that way. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I don't read for myself. I never like that idea about reading because people, make it all good. I always put it all negative. All the worst is yet. So I haven't been doing that for years. But because of the empath thing,
it's
so
style,
it's so difficult to not pick up all, and even when I'm reading, you pick up on, and I'm very sensitive and I get hurt easy. I need to work on that. That's my own problem. But it is difficult when you pick up too much, and you need to, and I can't contain what, put myself in a good, strong enough container sometimes. I'm at the market and the checker's doing something, and I'm picking up all her stuff and been taking it on my own. She's having some issues, and I shouldn't be, I don't want to be, but the, I don't know. It makes her a good reader, but then on the other hand, it's a little bit neurotic. But I don't know. But I do feel like my daughter, for instance, I've talked about her. She's a big part of what's going on with the mindfulness degrees in that. She's going to be going to Columbia, and they have a degree just in the mindfulness in not just marriage counseling or anything like that. They're going towards this other stuff now to be the main degree. It's kind of interesting. So I don't know. I say I'm not going back to school myself, but Steve.
He has to. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens when they take this mainstream.
It's already happening. It's so cool.
Well, yeah, but then they're marketing it like cola. So it's like a matter of just finding the magic again, and I'm finding that difficult to bear.
The marketing, but I mean, I guess I'm talking about my daughter being 22 years old, going into college, fine 4-year college, getting a degree in neuroscience. But she has decided to open herself up instead of going brain surgery, whatever. She wants to do these people are changing their mind. It's important to do meditation. For a long time ago, that wouldn't have been a kid her age wanting to do that. Never. But because things are changing in our world, I think that's the big thing that's going on here now. And I appreciate that, actually. I don't know. It's not really, I don't see it marketable, but I appreciate that's going on. And she had some mentors and her professors that are taking on, they talk about it for schizophrenia. They're doing a lot of things on empathy. They said there's so much empathy with schizophrenia. And it's just, it fascinates me. Years ago, that would not
I'm
be.
I'm sorry, what were they saying? They were studying empathy and schizophrenia schizophrenia?
No, it's empathy that pertains, I don't want to say the babbling words wrong because I'm not astute, academic, but go to my YouTube channel and you can hear the lecture my daughter did. I filmed it. I recorded it. And she was wonderful.
I'd be very interested in hearing that
It's not a lack of. They're talking about more empath. People are talking about more than they ever would. And so I'll send you a link to that after the show.
Please.
I will. And so Steve, hi Steve, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, Maureen. How are you?
I am fine, and I missed you. You're going to get a beat. No, I'm just joking. No beating there, just because. it's the holidays. I missed you, and I'm glad. I hope you had a good holiday, and I'm happy that you're here. And so now, Steve, do you have something you would like to express yourself with and for us? I know you do.
Well, I found the interview really interesting, Maureen, and I think that when we're working on ourselves, working to understand ourselves and what we're experiencing, the metaphysical tools, when they're well used, take us far beyond conventional psychology. Mm-hmm. So I like any guest that is working professionally to counsel people and using metaphysical tools well, because they're just invaluable.
Absolutely. And it's a win-win. I feel it's a win-win. And especially if you're going to get somebody, it is a win-win. It absolutely is. Because I always tell people they should maybe see a counselor when I have clients, for instance. I don't know about you, but I've referred them to a counselor before. Have you ever done that?
I do. Well, I do sometimes refer a client to a psychiatrist if I feel there's a question of mental illness.
What about a therapist also to see a regular?
I do have a couple of people I refer clients to for neuro-linguistic programming and psychology, because I don't consider my role to be one in which I counsel people ongoing.
Well, because we're not degreed, and that's the only difference. I know I hate to say it, but that's what I was trying to say. It's kind of we're us people here. I utilize the cards in a different way. I don't fortune tell, but I pick up things about what's yet to be. But I do counsel them as well. I feel maybe I'm wrong, but you know I do that objectively instead of like, oh, this is going to happen, you know, that stuff. But it will be someday soon before we're – well, we should get a degree in life, you know, for having – doing this for so long. We should get a degree. But, you know, I do know – I have several – I have about three psychologists that come to me on a regular – like see me every month that are have a private practice. Three – and it cracks me up. But I said, do you see a counselor? And they go, no, we see you. One girl goes, oh, you're it. And I listen to her. She goes, wait, I got a client. She's booked all the time. But it feels really kind of nice that she does appreciate me giving her insight.
Absolutely.
I do, you know, feel it does feel good. I'll have to admit it. It does. And I'm real funny about it, but she is she's a traditional, but she does seek insight from me. So that is kind of something that we're seeing as we go. Things are merging together. But I think, Steve, I'm sorry. I kind of cutting you out of here, but that's because you're late and I'm joking. It's only because I don't know if we have any calls, but I'm going to give out that information. But you do, Steve has a, well, Steve, you do have a call from South Carolina, but I would like to say this, everybody. One, we'd like to request, why am I echoing? What's up with that? I'd like to request, we can only take one question per person, and please be as direct as you can, as it will help us give you the best room we can with the time allowed. So with that said, Steve, take it away, South Carolina.
Thank you, Maureen. Who's calling from South Carolina?
I am. Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Davinia.
Hello, how can I help you?
Yes, I was calling to ask a question about my career move. I'm trying to move into my career field and wanted to know if there's anything, in the future for that, soon possibly.
So you're asking for general insight about the future of your career, is that right?
Yes. Am I going to be doing like a job switch and preferably, time frame, how soon if possible? And if you happen to know what it might be in, so I can just, have a lookout for it.
Okay, so you I'm trying to understand your question. Your question is when you will get a role in this career. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
In lines of like public relations, marketing, but I just want to know, did you see a potential job change coming soon?
Okay. Do I see a job change coming for you? Let me see. I know that you've had to really face some significant challenges in your career, and I can see that you've let go of a situation that was very challenging. So I feel that the path you're taking is positive. I feel that it really was important that you commit to changing your career path. And I do see an opportunity coming for you. I'm jaunt to the spring. I don't feel it's imminent, but I do see an offer of employment paid appointments for you in the spring, and I'm drawn to the month of May, and I feel that you'll do well. And I feel that particularly you're somebody that needs to be very focused on insight and information that's used to help make decisions. So I feel that particularly your niche will be providing information and insight to enable marketing decisions. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I feel that that's the path you go down, that you'll be somebody that's very much valued for providing information, ideas, insight that enables good marketing decisions to get made. And as I said, I feel that you'll have an opportunity in May. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. I wish you lots of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you, Steve, for that reading. And if anybody would like to get a reading from Steve or anyone, of anybody or everybody at psychicaccess.com, we are available, and there's great readers as we are. Please do so, and you can get a 6-minute reading free if you've never signed up yet. And Carmen, you have a New York caller. New York.
New York.
Hello.
We have someone from New York. How do we say that? New York or New York?
I'd say hello.
Hi. Good evening. Hi. Good happy Boxing Day. What can I do for you today? What's your name?
Anne.
Hi, Anne. So, what can I do for you?
Well, this is kind of a silly question, but yesterday I had a friend over, and he brought me a piece of cake. Well, it was a big piece of cake, and like typically you would cut the cake in half and have him eat a piece and have me eat a piece, and I ate the whole cake. And he left, he was watching TV, and then he left, and I could tell he was not happy. So I was wondering if he was annoyed that I ate the whole cake, or if there was something else he was annoyed about.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, I mean, what's his name? And why would that affect your relationship? Just to put some depth into this reading for you, I want to make sure that I get the right angle for you, Anne.
Well, I worry about every little thing, how people perceive me and things like that.
Oh, okay. One moment. Let's have a look here. Well, actually, it makes your mood better. So could it be that, in a way, what his perception of this is, and if I can just, you know the science, we hear it all the time, it's just like a slight sugar high. And I'm wondering if he perceives that as a marked difference in your relationship. That's a really intensive way of saying that it can affect your behavior. Isn't that kind of interesting? Because some of my readings sometimes do have a medical aspect to it. And so even if it gives you energy, does that mean that you're happier? And ironically, even though the people we want to be around us want us happy, in this case it might mean that he loses control. You know, in the Victorian days, they used to faint. Women used to faint. And it was seen as very popular because it showed weakness and a lack of eating, and they used to faint because they wouldn't eat. Because they wouldn't eat, because if they ate, it would seem like they had a sexual appetite, and it would be seen as unbecoming. And I see that, you know, that could tie into sort of a male loss of control. And is he angry?
Well, he left, and I know he wasn't happy when he left. I just could tell that he wasn't happy, and I was wondering what would that had to do with.
I would feel that it's about maybe it actually said he had a long day. He was tired. There's a possibility here that he was slightly. I don't even know if there was a major issue. I wonder if there was a much more important issue, because in terms of how this is, it's like, you're feeling judged by him, but he's already a pretty grumpy guy. Or not really, but I mean, there's just times when you're so close together that you're just going to. And says here, has a tendency to be a little bit rough sometimes and may have been just tired from the long week with the holidays and everything. And when is he going back to work? And all these things are more on his mind rather than you. And I think maybe that's it. Like, you guys just did not have a romantic enough time together. And, you know, I would feel like that would probably be more of the issue.
I'm sorry, what?
That you needed more of a romantic evening together for such an indulgent experience. It's very nice that if you had it at your cake in a restaurant, for example, it's a very romantic indulgent. But at home, it can be seen as a somewhat self-indulgent pastime. But he isn't mad. He's just like, he went to sleep or something. He may have been tired.
No, I went to sleep. You were. I fell asleep. He was watching a show. And I finally kicked him out because he was spending like the entire evening watching the show, and I couldn't deal with it anymore. So I just...
So that's why that comes up. But, you know, he's not even angry about that. I mean, that's almost like... It sounds like the perfect, like, you know, American sort of nuclear family. And I would feel like, to some extent, no real upset in your reading. How long have you been together for?
Well, we're not dating. We're just friends at this point, like 3 years.
Oh, okay. Well, so in terms of like just in general, it does seem like you're more friends than you are romantic. But maybe it's because you've been spending too much time together. And that's what I feel like, you know. It does say here that he will sort of come back or bounce back a little bit more at some point. And he's just like, I think that, I mean, I don't know how often you spend time together. And I would have to say this. Now we're on to our next caller, but I think that he's probably a bit down that nothing's happened between you guys yet and that you're still sitting eating cake and not dot, dot, dot. He is upset that you're not together yet, and I think that you should move on it very soon. So I'm going to go on because I think that, you know, in a way, the correct question was, what does he think about me? And I think you kind of did get that, but in a way, not as much as I usually like to work with my readings. Okay.
I'm going to let
you
go. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, and call me again on Psychic Access. I'm Carmen. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carmen. That was fantastic. And yes, Carmen can be reached at psychicaccess.com. She's there, and she's there on a real good schedule. Thank you, Carmen. That was lovely. And we have Stephen with North Carolina, I believe.
I think actually we were in South Carolina.
Okay, South. I said South. You're not okay. South Carolina. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm from North Carolina, so I'm glad I got this call. Hello, who am I speaking with in South Carolina?
Hey, Stephen. It's Tiana. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How can I help you tonight?
Hey, well, I'm actually calling to get some insight on my career as well. I know what field I need to be in. I just accepted a job that I guess it was one of the first or second opportunities, but it's not really where I really want to be, and neither is the location I'm in. So I wanted more insight on my career.
All right. Let's see what we got to deal with here on the career. And for sure, the mobility issues are the number one concept that comes up. And the reason I say that is because here we have a preponderance of cards that pertain to Jupiter and Sagittarius, which deals with the distance or location travel types of situations. I'll say that right off the bat. So that's, I think, going to be probably one of the bigger flies in the ointment about this job. However, I do think that despite some of the inconveniences of it, it's still going to be worth your while to keep it, at least for the short term, because it will go a long way towards establishing some material security. And plus, it's, you know, jobs are a lot like relationships, you know. When you're single, it's harder to get a partner than it is when you're already with someone. And the same thing with jobs. It's easier to find a better job when you're already employed as opposed to being unemployed. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And I'm already employed at one job. I just accepted another position somewhere else.
Yes.
but the job I'm currently in as well is, it's been long term, about off and on 10 years, but it's not career. It's more of a job.
Right. And this, right. It's not what you were born to do.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing I wanted to impress upon you, because the result of all of this is shown by Trump number 8, the balance. And this card is reversed. And so it represents what's something that's going to start happening. And so, yeah, in this case, I actually think that increased material security might be a little detrimental to your long-term goals, because what this card represents is a situation becoming frozen into place. You know what I'm saying? An equilibrium, and more than an equilibrium, a complacency. What I see here with this job you're currently at, and, you know, I'm not advising you to quit it or anything, but what I'm warning you about is that it's going to be very easy to become complacent with your current employer, and to the point where it's going to be harder and harder to motivate yourself to find employment outside, you know, that's more appropriate to you. Does that make sense?
With their current job or the one that I just accepted? I'm sorry, I lost you there.
No, you're fine. Both of those jobs, actually. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that your current career situation, if it's not moving in the direction of your vocation, then the problem, the main challenge you're going to be faced with is one of complacency, sort of settling into a routine. And instead of, you know, here you've got two jobs that don't really fit you that well, when what you're looking for is one job that you were born to do. This is the challenge. And so what I say to you as in way of a warning is that once you start, you know, working these two other jobs, then it's going to be harder to focus your activities and directions in the direction that you really want to go. It's going to be much easier to settle into a routine and you know, that's what I'm saying with both of those jobs. Now, I'm not saying not to take those jobs. I say this only as warning, only as in the sense of this is going to be the bigger problem. Not so much, you know, not so much the distance or anything, but the, you know, falling into a rut. And so that's what you're going to need to watch out for. Knowing this in advance, you can certainly take measures to sidestep that. You can certainly say, okay, well, I've got these two jobs now, so I'm not going to become complacent with them. I'm going to force myself to continue to do what's necessary to get a job in the career that I was born to do. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest danger. You see, your situation is different from a lot of people's. Some people, they're going to have, you know, cash flow is going to be their problem. That's not going to be your problem. However, you're still not going to be 100% satisfied. Cash flow is not going to be the problem. The problem is going to be satisfaction with the career. You know, a vocation has the word vox in it, which is a Latin word for voice. You know, it represents a calling, just like profession. It's something that you profess with your mouth. You know, are you doing that? So at every step in the process, you're going to have to ask yourself these questions. Am I doing my calling? Is this what I profess to do, what I'm doing right now? And if it's not, you're going to have to take corrective actions. But again, thank God you've got regular, serious, stable cash flow. That's in your favor. You can use that to your advantage. The big thing you want to watch out for is a sense of complacency and getting stuck in a rut, okay?
Gotcha. Okay.
Thank you very much for calling me tonight, and I wish you the best of luck. And if you haven't visited us yet at psychicaccess.com, you get a free 6-minute reading for doing that. You can find myself, Carmen, Steve, and about 4 pages of highly talented psychics. Please visit us, okay?
I will. Thank you, Stephen.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. And, you know the pages, that's exactly correct. There are 4 pages.
There's a lot of them.
I know. There was 4, though. Very, very, very knowledgeable. Thank you. And I have a call from Florida. Hi, Florida. It's Maureen. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. And this is Maureen. May I have your name, please?
My name is Lisa.
Oh, hi, Lisa. I've noticed that you were in a chat room. Wait. Hi. What would you like me to focus on for you, help you with?
Oh, wow. I'm a first-time caller. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
I wanted you guys to focus on my finances, please. Or if anything else comes through, I'm open to hearing that.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't get that. You know, the best, what I do want to let you know is because of our time restraint on the calls here that we're doing and the venue we're doing, it's best if you could have one direct question so that way I can help you the best I can.
Yes, I did. I said my finances.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that very well. Your finances. So you'd like to know, are your finances, are you working through something to try to see making it work out better? Is that,
yes.
Or where's, okay,
yes.
got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. I understand those things. Okay, and I am getting, you know, this is what I'm getting. It does appear to me, what I'm seeing here is that you recently, and this could happen, you recently were juggling two situations at one time. When we juggle something, which a lot of us know what that means, one thing will not always get treated. One will get treated half. I'm not going to say the word, but it's like half. The other one won't. So it's like when you're juggling, nothing will really, and pretty soon the juggling act's over, and I feel that this is something that's gone on, so there's almost like there's been a decision. I see you not pursuing something that would be like knowing or getting more knowledge. It's not maybe something conventional, like going to school like a student, but something that I feel is really important that maybe it might be a good idea for you to be back open, because I feel that there's something you need to get some more knowledge on that would be very beneficial. Did you recently stop or decide not to? Because I feel the timing, or maybe in the recent past, you think it passed you by. Something that was new, and I'd see really good timing for you to get some more just more knowledge about. There's something that's really important for you that will allow you to move forward. And the timing's good, but I see that you've been unhappy. I know that it's perhaps been kind of hard. It's like when you're trying, I feel you got really good ideas, or you try to move in a direction, and then you feel that you're going to be unhappy about the way you're going. You don't have a lot of support. I don't feel that people embrace what your direction you're taking. I don't know. It's almost like in a way you've got so much going for you, but you don't even know how much. I want to ask you something, Lisa. Is there something that you feel that you had wanted to learn more? I just want to ask because I'm picking up on this pretty intensely. Is there something that you wanted to get more insight to, and that would mean maybe having to get some more knowledge, and which would mean applying yourself somewhere to go get that, like a student would? Is there something?
I'm not connecting to that right now. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, because what I'm seeing here is wherever the situation is around a business or a company, it looks like there's havoc. There's a lot of commotion, and I see that you're overqualified. You're not getting acknowledged for what you're capable of doing, and it's a mess. There's some changes going on, and I just feel that. So I'm just gonna have to, and I don't feel okay. Are you working at this time? Are you bringing in money in your own business or anything like that, or amongst people around people? Okay,
yes.
I feel that it's like I feel that there's stuff that's going on. It doesn't look like a healthy place to be around, and I feel that you have a lot more to offer, or you've mastered a lot more, but you just need to get a little bit more, maybe like training in something, but I don't feel that it's very positive. And people are in uproars, and I feel within the next 6 weeks it's going to be a lot of people leaving, or there's something changing, and there's some real big changes. I feel that you may decide to leave it, be to your best interest, because I see your batteries will be recharged. I'm going to ask you this. For instance, do you enjoy what you're doing right now? Are you enjoying how everything's going? Because I don't see that to be the case. I see a change, and the timing's really good. I know it could be hard, but I don't feel that it's like you're ready to step away from there. You're not doing what you're capable of. Everything, there's something more. The timing's now, and as long as you stay where you're at, I just don't see you moving forward above to what you're doing. So I guess I'm going to ask you, are you happy what you're doing, where you're at? Are you fulfilled?
I like what I do.
The environment. There's something going on. There's people maybe leaving. There's something going on. There's something changing in this the company. But like I said, it doesn't make, and I do see a bit unhappy. It's just like the feeling is not really, it's like you don't feel very secure. It just doesn't feel good. And I know that it could be difficult, but I see it, change is hard, but I see so much opportunity ahead for you. I really do, but I feel that you've been kind of like, you've been really in pain for the past. You've had a lot of stuff you've gone through in personal life too, and that doesn't, just some pain, but I feel it's time for you. You know, there's a woman I'm picking up on also, I wanted to tell you, Lisa, that looks like she has lighter hair and lighter eyes, and you know, a natural hair color, I don't know, but or not, but she looks like somebody that'd be really positive for you to connect with, and almost like meeting of the minds and talking about something that you two could do, something, because I feel that you're, like, because there's so much more I feel that you could do and you could thrive in, and in your own way, start something. Maybe it's an ordinary opportunity. I see it making it being very great, but I see female energy, but the male energy around this where you're at right now is not positive. I see you making a decision in a couple of months, after February, March, and you've worked so hard and you're not seeing the fruits of your labor where you're at. You're not seeing it. You've worked hard and you've been patient, but you're not getting back. I see good changes coming. I see women energy around these things. It would be really, they'll be very successful. Female energy. So, yeah, if you're open to this, you know, I can't tell you what to do, but I can encourage you. If you've been thinking any thoughts about, even if they sound silly, whatever, women, other women, I do see a woman that would have a little bit more money. Being on your own somewhat or starting something like that would be fantastic. I do see opportunity to go in that direction.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, you know, I'm sorry if you didn't follow me at all. You can listen to this on archives, and sometimes it will make sense later. I just don't see it very positive going on where you're at and coming up either. It's just very stressful, and you're not getting. You're working so hard, you're not seeing anything come back. You've been hanging in there. It just, there's something going on there. It's time, you know, to make a change, and I feel it's good timing. And I do see really positive opportunities for you.
Oh, okay.
I would be fearless and maybe be open to some things, especially females. I see like two other, three of you together being able to really go. I know there's a lot of good opportunities. You're smart. So, but you're going through a lot of pain still and other things. I can see that too. That's hard. So my heart hurts.
Yeah,
I mean, it is hard. I can, you know, I there's some real deep pain going on. So it is a difficult, you're being hit at once for a lot of things. You'll be fine. I do feel you'll be fine. It's going to be difficult, but you'll do well. But there is pain emotionally from not just money or work. And it's hard, but you'll be okay. It's sad, but hard. Okay.
Okay.
Lisa, I hope I helped you. And take care of yourself and be nice and kind to yourself. Okay.
Okay, I'll go. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, Lisa, it's hard. Okay, I might have missed up. Is there someone?
Have another call.
Thank you.
From me, from
Thank
California.
You. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For
stepping in. Who's calling from California?
Hello?
Hi, are you calling from California?
Yes, I am. I'm in Mountain View.
Okay. And what's your name?
My name's Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How can we help?
I want to know what you see coming up for my love life.
In your love life? Let's see. Well, just for your reference, Sarah, I'm very strongly drawn to the initial P. And I just for future reference, I want you to remember the initial P. I'm not sure if it's the name Peter somehow, but the letter P and the name Peter somehow is relevant for the future. So just remember that. It doesn't mean that you would be with Peter, but it may be that you meet your partner through Peter, or the name Peter is very important in your partner's life. But let me see. I feel that you've... I feel a partner that you were with in the past, and I feel it's taken you quite some time to come to terms with that relationship ending. I'm drawn to the number three, and it feels like about 3 years. So it may be whether the relationship began 3 years ago or ended 3 years ago, I'm not sure, but I'm drawn to this period of 3 years as being significant, and I feel like you've been strong and you've done really good work to assimilate what occurred in that relationship and to put it behind you. I feel that you will find another relationship. I feel that your partner is coming into your life late summer, early fall of next year. And I feel that your partner has a very prominent moon in the astrological chart, which makes the person very sensitive, somebody that's much more sensitive to your feelings, company that's much more in tune with their own feelings and desire to nurture and be nurtured. My guides give me the month of October, actually, so I'm drawn more to the middle of the fall season. But I feel that you meet or know of this person towards the end of the summer, but it takes a couple of months for the friendship or relationship to develop. But that's what I'm drawn to for you. I feel that it works out fine. And as I said, I'm drawn to October of next year. Okay?
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Wish you lots of luck.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Steve, that was a lovely, insightful reading. And if you'd like to get a reading from Steve or any, but Steve's there too, but any one of us or anybody else, contact, you can go to psychicaccess.com. And for those who have never been there, we offer a 6-minute free reading. It's a very good deal. And we have a caller for Kay. I'm sorry.
Wait,
thank you, Carmen. Thanks for keeping up. You know, Virginia. There we go. There you go, Carmen. Thanks.
Hey, Virginia, person from Virginia.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay, thanks. How are you tonight? How's the weather there? I mean, how's your life? And what can I do for you?
It's cold. I have an interview on Monday, and I'm just calling to see exactly what you're picking up.
Okay, so I'm going to just ask you, can I have your name, please? Just
D.
Pardon me?
D.
D, hello. Okay, let's see. the person that may interview you may want more information from you, more details. He's a pretty demanding and well-known person in this field, yet there may be something, are you in communications? It may be about the work that you need to do, the nature of the work that you need to do. Now, I just probably need a little bit of help for this type of reading. But I'm just going to tell you in a second. Let me just tell you what I get here. Baseline. Salary expectations, he could be difficult about, which is nice that I see you going to the next level to get that far as to say, talk about salary. And he says here, possible that you could actually get this opportunity. You're well presented and well put together for this particular job. But he's not going to talk much during the interview, I believe. And to some extent, you're going to have to lead it, which is always really hard. I would imagine that it depends on the interview style and what the company's product is as to how you would perform. What do you think?
I'm meeting with two people. So two people. Well, it's actually three people. So I'm assuming it's a round table interview. That's what I'm assuming. There's three people involved in the interview process.
The main person you'll watch out for is the person who does not talk. He's the facilitator. And he's going to let the others do the work. And they have a style where they ask silly questions. And I would just stick to the professional. They're going to try and engage you conversationally, and they're going to try and draw out conversational styles, which may not be applicable to your job. Don't get friendly. Don't worry about the banter. It may be a very specific type of job where actual personality isn't really a number one requirement.
Right.
I mean, not that you don't fit that, but it's not going to be necessary. It's not entertainment. It's probably more about your resume. Well, may I ask you, because just from on study, what field you're in? What field is this?
I work in IT.
That's right. That's why it said communications. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think that it's going to be about salary expectations. Isn't that great?
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well
appreciate
done
it.
Already. Well, thank you very much. You have a great weekend, hey? Already.
You too. Thank
good
you.
Good luck on Monday. I'm sure you'll get it. Take good care.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Bye.
Thank you, Carmen. That was a great reading. Very lovely. And also, if you'd like to get a hold of Carmen, she can be found at psychicaccess.com, and you will find her, and or any one of us. But Carmen will be there, and you can get a six-minute pre-reading for those who have not yet signed up. And I'm not doing too good because I'm here. I'm trying to find who else. Okay, Virginia, South Carolina for Stephen, right?
Actually, no, I think we're in New York, a little bit, north of the Mason-Dixon line.
I'm too fast around these countries. I just don't know how fast. New York.
It's quite all right. Thank you. Who am I speaking with in New York?
This is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you for calling. How can I help you tonight?
I was wondering if you could give me your feelings in regard to my friend Joe and I.
And you said his name was Joe, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. One second while I pick up on Joe and his feelings for you, be they for good or for ill or for neutral. One second here. Interesting that the card that really sort of describes the entire situation between you and Joe is the death card reversed. Now, that sounds morbid, it sounds negative, but it's actually not. What that tells me is that the entire saga between you and Joe, be it romantic or just platonic friendship, the entire saga is going to be geared towards a major transformation in your life, either transforming your life in a huge way or transforming his life in a huge way or both. Probably both. As far as what his thoughts, that's shown by the air element. An air element is chatty. It's not necessarily emotional, though. But interestingly enough, what I'm seeing about with Joe is that he's going to tend towards more towards caution in the emotions for right now. I'm not sure if this is because, you know, he's had some negative interpersonal relationships in the past. All I can tell you is that as far as his emotions are concerned and what he desires for you, from you, that's shown by a card which is really an emblem of caution and wisdom. And this is actually a good thing. You know, it tells me that the very desire to be cautious in his dealings with you tells me that you're important to him. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense to me. That's the feeling I'm getting from Joe is that, A, he desires more communication from you, and B, that there's a mental dialogue going on in his mind that's something like this. Wow, you know, you got to do this right. You know, you can't let her see that I can't let her see how much I like her, and he really does like you, Tracy. You can't really let her see that I have affection for her or emotions for her. So I'm going to have to go overboard here. I'm going to have to be a little gruff, perhaps. I'm going to have to cover up this emotional vulnerability. Now, what do you think about my comments regarding Joe so far, Tracy?
They sound dead on.
Okay. Now let's analyze a little bit how all of my commentary about Joe, how this is going to translate into his behavior towards you, his actions, and excuse me. This is actually shown by the reversed Trump number 7. A Trump number 7 is an emblem of victory, achievement, mobility, movement, broadcasting. And the reversed orientation of this card tells me that he's going to start this program going. He's going to start broadcasting. He's going to start becoming more mobile. He's going to start trying to become more victorious, start trying to achieve things with you. So this will probably translate to him, despite wanting to be cautious and hold back, I would expect in the future that a little bit of his eagerness will slip out, because he definitely has an agenda for you. And I see him in the future trying hard to sort of enact that agenda, you know. That's what I'm seeing here with Joe. Now, that death card, I find that to be actually quite positive, you know, quite positive. Because what that tells me right off the bat, first thing, is that your dealings with Joe are going to be, they're going to cause your life to change pretty big. Now, I'm not saying it's going to cause you to become wealthier or, you know, move to a different state, but your attitudes will probably change. Your opinions on things will probably change, you know, so it looks like we're headed towards a transformation, and that's the point of this relationship, Tracy, quite frankly.
Right.
Whether you're aware of that or not, I feel like that it's incumbent upon me to make you aware of that.
Yeah, I've always felt that there's more than the friendship.
Right.
But there's always been something there stopping it.
Yeah, and we would have to put the onus on Joe for that. And now, again, as to why he's being so cautious, I'll be frank with you. That's just speculation on my part. You know, I'm not Nostradamus. But, you know, what I can say with complete confidence is that he is being cautious. As far as why, you and I can only speculate. You know, now, knowing a thing or two about relationships, having, you know, counseled a lot of people about relationships, you know, a lot of times this caution springs from, you know, from past hurts, past rejections from other people. So that, you know, that's, but I don't think this is going to be enough to prevent Joe from taking some initiative here in the coming weeks and months. And, you know, right now, again, in his thoughts are, you know, I'm getting the sensation of the sign of Libra very much. So again, this sort of describes a yes man, you know, someone who's going to agree with you, who's going to try as much as he can to be complimentary, to agree with you, you know, to be a companion. That's what his priorities are right now. Everything I'm seeing here tells me that he's suppressing the emotional drives in favor of the intellect and establishing a mental relationship with you right now. You know, it's almost as if he's thinking, okay, let's be friends with Tracy first, and then it'll be harder for her to resist me. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense to you, Tracy?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say that if you're into Joe, then you're on the right track. You know, if you're not into Joe, then, you know, you probably would find him to be a little irritating. But if you like Joe and want a romance with him, then you should be pretty pleased with the way things evolve in your dealings with him in the future.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah, it seems sometimes it just seems to be clicking right along, and then he puts on the brakes and like backs up.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I got to tell you, you know, this sort of reluctance, you know, is not at all uncommon. You shouldn't take it personally, okay? Again, it's sort of like a bluff. So knowing this, you know, the point of calling a psychic or someone like me is to, you know, understand that this guy's deal, you know, that it's a bluff. You know what I'm saying? You can see through that. So, you know, just keep doing what you're doing and you should be fine, Tracy, okay?
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you, and I hope you'll come visit us at psychicaccess.com, okay?
I will do so. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. That was lovely. And I am here to say that if anybody would like to contact Stephen at psychicaccess.com, you can do so. So that brings us to yet another lovely show that we all are. And I appreciate anybody involved. Stephen, thank you for being involved with the interview. I love it when everybody is. And for next week, and Doug, thank you for everything that you do and for everything that you've just done. A whole new thing going on. And I noticed it, but thank you for, you know, one more reading. I guess I got a hold of myself and took a hold of myself. I think it's for me, yes? Okay. Maureen, New York. You know what? That means I'll be going to New York to move my daughter there. Hi, New York. It's a sign.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? And what's your name?
Bridget.
Hi, Bridget. My name's Maureen, and what can I help you with?
Hi, I have a friend who lives in Florida, and we used to talk daily, but all of a sudden he stopped talking to me, and I'd like to know why.
Okay, that's a good direct question. I like that, and I will just see what I can do. And this is somebody that you have been, you had a momentum going and talking, and suddenly it's out of the unusual that he's doing this now? Or is it something that he does have a pattern tend to do? I'm wondering, is that... I'm asking you now ahead of time, so in case, because sometimes, you know, is it something he tends to do? I mean, have you been with him enough to where he tends to do something like this every now and then? He might be getting too close and he freaks out, or is this something out of the
usual?
Usually,
I'm the one that does that.
he does tend to do that, to do this.
No, yes. Usually I do.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I like that honesty. And now he's... Okay. You guys just stop. Get yourselves together. Sorry. That's interesting, isn't it? Maybe. Wow. Well, listen. This is what... Well, I'm sure you're listening. I didn't mean to be... Listen up. No. This is what I'm getting is... right now, what I'm seeing is there. I do feel that there's been a lot of recently. It doesn't really. Well, it does pertain to your question, but what I'm getting is recently. I don't know if it's one or the other. Just recently, got out of commotion at work or business company. Something finally is just all that mess is done with, and so now it's almost like I see someone wanting to be like the dreamer, fearless, and go for it, and just go into it. Now, you two obviously have something going on here. That's a pattern. Have you been together for, you know, like for a while, long time? Like maybe, let's put it this way. Seems like you've known each other for quite a while, but and there's been a lot of patience going on. But I also, you know, are you both available? You're not with, there's no, I'm going to have to ask you because I'm not clear. Are you both available and single to be together?
I used to be with him when I was young.
You
like
did?
17 years ago.
Okay, but neither one of you are married to anybody else
no.
right now? Okay, fantastic. I like that. Okay, this is what I'm feeling. Now, he looks like he's a workaholic, okay? He looks like he's a real go-getter, and he could be tend to be a workaholic. He'll break down, but it does look like he can, you know, take himself and, you know, distract himself from not having to. If he's upset or whatever, he won't call you. I do see you hearing from him very soon. I also feel that there's something here that he looks at. There is some legal something around this, too, that there's some legal, some fear of something legal that might not be favorable. And are you a mother energy figure, mother type of figure, a mother, not a, you know, not a motherly bad way, but like nurturing mother type. And are you, you know, maybe a mother, but he really, you two look like you really are really good as together, but I do feel there's been a lot of stuff, and he may also want to have you knock off the pushing it when not contacting him. What are you afraid of? I just feel that this one of you is ready to jump and go for it and be fearless. I'm encouraging that because I feel that would be a good choice. I feel that it has yet to happen, and I do see a good news coming your way. I also feel, though, that you're I feel personal power is going to be a more settled in. You know, and also there's no more baggage. I see. I do see, and it's either one or I'm not clear if it's either one or the other. It could be both of you that have looked back and regretted some things, like from years gone by of whatever you've gone through, maybe with other people or not. But you put it to rest. It will always be there, but you're able to put it to rest instead of dwelling. And you're getting. I see you both getting healthy, really healthy to be in a relationship. That's good. And you know, it's not going to be perfect, but I can definitely see you fighting fair if you ever do. And that's a real good thing. I see you making the decision within the next 3 months, within a 3 month, a decision about what direction to take. Do you want to be with this person? Could you, I see you as lifelong partners, but you know, there's a lot to be said, but I don't know. And also, there's incompletion surrounding you two. What's up with that? I'm sorry. It's like, it's time. It's time, maybe. And to be fearless is scary. But I see that this relationship could bring a whole sense, a feeling of like being enthusiastic about life and excitement again. And he does appear like he's, I don't mean this in a bad way. He's a good guy, but he can maybe be not as vivacious as you, a little bit dull sometimes, maybe. But he's, I don't know, I do feel that there's incompletion, it needs to be something. You two, and there's the, I don't know. Do you work together? Have you ever worked with him?
No, I haven't. I haven't even seen him since I was like 18 years old.
Okay, but you've been talking to each other on the, like, and then no communicate. Oh, no, well, I don't know how old you are. I always think people.
Like, every few years he would get a hold of me and
okay.
call me on my birthday or.
Oh, no, I get it. I get what you're saying. Yeah, I like that. Oh, okay. This is a good one. You know, come on. You know, really,
and then,
someone that.
And then he always tells me that he has unfinished business with me, and then all of a sudden, we stopped talking, so I wanted to know why he stopped talking.
Well, okay,
but he's just
I got
been
it.
Busy.
There's, there's no other women. Okay, I want to say this. I didn't say this. I don't see any other female he's interested or someone he's diversioned over. I do see you hearing from him very soon. He looks like he's been workaholicking out. He does tend to do that. And it does feel like very much so there's some stuff going on in his work. But I see you getting some good news. And I do feel that if he approached you, because you're so used to him doing this, you know, back and forth for all those years, I don't know. It gets scary when someone says, let's just go for it and be together. Then that's when you start going, oh, my gosh, this is what I want. There is some unfinished business between you two, and I do feel it's time. It's really 2014 is going to be your time, but it will take a lot of be fearless, and that's hard. Jump into it. Go for it. Jump off the cliff. And I feel that by you doing that, I see good, yes, yes. And within 4 months, things will take a turn. It's really positive. So when he contacts you, embrace it and help lead him. I just feel like you two, yeah, you just need to. he's a good man. He's a good lifelong partner. I do see you. There's no other women. There's nothing like that going on. He's just working, and you're the one who said you back away from him, right? So maybe he's trying to just... You know
how
that goes.
Yeah, the wheels turned, so it scared me.
I know that. And don't let it happen to you, because some people are unhappy. And so you just don't come back into a reincarnated life and be having to do this all over again. I'm not saying I believe in anything, but just in case. You don't want to do that. I see you both want a conventional relationship. I see you're both capable of it. Really, it's good. Just you've been to stuff.
Well, thank you.
Go for it. And he's very charming. I like him, too. He's a good guy. Very good. Yeah, you go.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling and come see us. And you can hear this on archives. You're reading everybody else's and our interview. And come see us again. Thank you so much.
Right.
Okay, good night.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, well, I think I already said thank you, Doug. But it's not thank you, Doug, for everything you do every time that you do it. Even better, higher level. And next week, Carmen.
Yes, hi. Next week we have Michelle Caron, and she is a well-known astrologer. She's also a shaman practitioner, but she has actually got her own method of astrology, and she will be giving us the 2014 predictions. Yes! So for the new year, on the 2nd. Michelle.
Well, that sounds fantastic, and I think that would be just appropriate because we're going into 2014.
Exactly.
Thank you, Carmen. Well, I say goodnight. My goodnights, and you guys say your go for yours. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Gute Nacht.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.